This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Well, it's 7:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now moving on to our next story, Muda is entering the fray in the Melaka state elections. But there are questions over which seats they'll contest. So today we talk about where the chips are falling.
Yeah, so as you say, Muda announced yesterday that it intends to participate. It is worth saying at this point, of course, that Muda, which was set up on September 17th, has not yet been approved as a political party by the ROS. So that, I think, is an important element to know for the rest of the conversation. Now, Pakatan Harapan parties, PKR, DAP and Amana, have welcomed Muda into the fold. And their president and, of course, MUA MP, Syed Saddiq, has said that discussions are underway as to whether Muda will contest under the Pakatan ticket for the reason that we just spoke about, because they are not yet registered.
So we know that the election itself looks to be a three-cornered fight between Barisan Nasional, Perikatan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan. There are 28 seats at stake in the Melaka State Assembly. And as of now, the nomination date for the elections is November 8th. Polling is going to be on the 20th of November. A lot of focus really on this particular election, and I think this new development has added another layer to it. Political analysts are saying that the entry of Muda may in fact pose perhaps a problem for the Pakatan Harapan coalition, because they might essentially be competing for the same seats, the same sort of voters.
Yes, essentially suburban mixed race seats because of the demographic of their supporters, and that might eat into DAP and PKR's chances with those same seats. Now, I think that the other aspect to consider here, aside from the who is going to go where and what how this is going to play out, is also that this is a real political test for Muda. I'd like to bring up the point that Syed Saddiq has made on the station and elsewhere, that Muda does not want to be a personality-driven party, despite the fact that right now, we've said his name like five times in the course of just trying to explain this story, which I think tells you A, who their MP is, because really it comes down to this idea of representation and who is actually, you know, in the room where it happens, so to speak. So it comes down to who is already an MP, firstly. But the other part of it is also just who is perceived as the face of the party. And therefore, if you're going to run, if you're going to field a candidate, this is an actual test as to whether or not, beyond one person, people buy into the party.
I think it's also worth considering that not everyone is thrilled with this notion of Muda aligning themselves with Pakatan Harapan, right? Particularly a lot of their younger supporters who viewed them, and their manifesto is this whole idea of being a youth-driven party. And a lot of the supporters, I think, are expressing thoughts about whether then, if is this just going to be more of the same, really? Are you representing a kind of opposition that we already know? So these are the questions at this point. It is early days yet, so a lot to look forward to. Do share your thoughts with us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Shazwan Mustafa Kamal, Associate Director at Vriens & Partners. Shazwan, thanks for being with us today. Now, Muda has announced his intentions to participate in the Melaka elections. What do you make of this, and how exactly is this going to happen since they're still not a registered party?
I think there's certainly interesting developments going into the Melaka election. I think before this, I thought that Muda probably have made a bit of a presence once the, you know, only 18 comes into place, but I think the Melaka election would be a good testing ground for Muda, actually, just to fill things out. And to sort of ascertain how it can possibly sort of configure its presence in the next general election. How is it going to happen? I mean, obviously, if they are able to contest independently, if they just meet the requirements, it's quite possible. You know, they just need their members or, you know, candidates just need to be residents of a particular constituency in Melaka, and they just have to pay a certain fee in order to contest, things like 10,000, if I'm not mistaken. But obviously, you know, if you do that without aligning with other parties such as the opposition, then you run the risk of, you know, entering into a crowded race or even a three-way or four-way race. And I think Muda might want to avoid that at this point of time. And it does seem like they're probably in the midst of discussions with political parties, particularly within the opposition, to sort of figure out whether they can, are there any seats that they can contest in. I would say probably the easiest in terms of negotiation would be the seats that Bersatu contested the last time. It's up for arms right now, right? So, but the challenge to this obviously is there are other parties within Pakatan Harapan who also want to lay claim to these seats. So it depends actually on what Pakatan Harapan wants out of this election as well.
MUDA President Syed Saddiq has said that they're discussing whether to contest under the Pakatan Harapan ticket. What does each side stand to gain from this potential collaboration or cooperation?
I think strength in numbers, right? So I think MUDA, by contesting under a Pakatan Harapan ticket, we're able to give us a taste of how a Pakatan Harapan plus coalition would look like coming into the next elections. I think possibly the biggest takeaways for this upcoming election is how this, you know, will likely serve as a precursor to the election, the general election, which I'm sure a lot of people are saying, what we're talking about. So for MUDA, it's really how where they fit in that bigger umbrella, right? And whether they can carve out a niche sort of category within that coalition. Because, I mean, you'll have a lot of youth voters as well, right? And while coming to next year. And whilst PH would want to project that they are a party for youths, you know, their leadership is still quite, I mean, as opposed to MUDA, still made up of leaders that are not quite young. So there's something in it for MUDA. But for PH as well, it's also challenging because it's also an opportunity for the coalition to be able to get its house in order. You know, noted that you've got so many players on the political field, you know, within the opposition coalition, right? And it's like a lot of fluid dynamics within both government and opposition. If you can work towards an agreement with MUDA, that could perhaps lead somewhere down the line to even some form of alignment with Warisan. So, I mean, it's equally important. It's a chance for all parties to show how they can work together under, you know, different arrangements. But one thing to bear in mind is I think moving to elections, these arrangements are all fluid. I don't think anyone's going to be signing up for something that's set in stone. I don't think MUDA or Warisan have the appetite to join Pakatan Harapan per se. Maybe more like Pakatan Harapan Plus. That would be probably something that's more probable.
Now, conversely speaking, there has been criticism that this will position MUDA as a Pakatan Harapan proxy, that it will dilute the party's youth-driven approach. Now, how important is that for this particular round of elections?
I mean, personally, I don't think it matters that much, simply because, you know, it's happening next month. And really, if MUDA wants to contest there, then, you know, by virtue of aligning themselves with PH, it's a logical thing to do. And I think those claims of MUDA being a PH proxy has always been there. You know, you have it from those who might do discredit MUDA. At the same time, you also have, you know, those who also claim that that MUDA is also aligning themselves with the government of the day. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. So, but I don't think it will factor in that much for the state election in Melaka.
So, being the new kid on the block then, how do you think MUDA will be received by voters?
I think that's why the election will be important and their participation. We'll be able to give MUDA a taste of how well they are perceived by voters. So, I mean, at the end of the day, voters right now still may not be MUDA's, like, 100% MUDA's target base, right? Simply because only 18 still not off the ground yet. But, you know, so far throughout the pandemic, I think MUDA has been quite consistent in articulating issues, finding creative ways to build in political advocacy, right? So I'm curious to see how this translates in the state election. And it's going to be baptism and fire for MUDA. I mean, I don't think they should go into this thinking that, oh, we must win at least one or two seats. Even if you lose, there are lessons to be learned and built upon from this election for the grander stage, which is the general election.
So if we take a step back, could you give us a quick rundown of the number of seats in Melaka and the makeup of its constituents?
Sure. So I think if we're not mistaken, the state seats in Melaka are 28 seats. PH won 15 seats in the last state election, which coincided with the general election in 2018. So Barisan Nasional at that time won 13. So 15 versus 13. Very thin majority, might say. And I, obviously, when Bersatu, when PH as a coalition fizzled out with the Sheraton move, that led to the exit of 6 Bersatu MPs. But it's important to note, within Melaka, there are many more intra and inter-party dynamics on the state level that perhaps might play a bigger issue than the politics on the national level. Because for one, the sort of demise of this current state government was not because of Pakatan per se. It was actually because of an internal struggle between UMNO and something that was there since 2 years ago. And Pakatan came to the picture because they decided to hold negotiations with the former chief minister of Melaka, who had wanted to take over from the current caretaker chief minister of Melaka. So there's a lot of inter-party dynamics on the state level as well. You know, Melaka is actually quite, I would say, a mixed constituency, you know, a sizable amount that's considered urban and semi-urban. So they would be quite up to date with regards to national issues. There might be some state issues that matter, especially with the reopening of the economy. Tourism are, you know, key factors that impacted the state adversely, given that Melaka's main source of revenue is through tourism activities. You have Barisan Nasional going on, and this is really UMNO and just a few parties probably going against Perikatan Nasional, which is backed by PAS. And PAS really hasn't even factored in because they didn't win any seats. They play quite a minimal presence in Melaka. So if for some reason or other, if they decide, even if they win one seat in Melaka, it would actually be good for PAS. So PAS actually has the most to gain and the least to lose really coming into the state election. I think the challenge would actually be for UMNO, I would feel, to be able to, if they win this, then they're going to ride on this decisiveness as an indication that, okay, we've recovered from that, you know, 2018 episode. We are back in the driver's seat, you know. But obviously, if Perikatan Nasional wins as well, then it also adds a feather to Bersatu's cap.
How do you think the three coalitions are going to approach this issue of seat allocations?
I think it'll be quite similar to how it's always approached. dingy, dimly lit rooms in corners of lots of hotels in Melaka. these negotiations are going to be, I think, heading into the 11th hour. And there are, I think, a lot of considerations to play. So I wouldn't discount, actually, especially for like perhaps negotiations. So within UMNO and Perikatan Nasional, there are parties that are advocating for an alliance. So it's a bit of a back and forth. I assume that this will likely happen until like the very end, until the last moments leading up to the election, possibly even nomination of candidates. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going on from Melaka. On that political level, there's a lot of, you have like an introspective look as to how alliances will look like, politics will look like, and how political parties navigate fluidity. But on the other hand, it's also a bigger thing, right? Because everyone's worried that Melaka is going to be a repeat of Sabah and it's going to be a spike. So if you can somehow be able to execute Melaka efficiently, the elections, with minimal COVID-19 concerns, then it's a stepping stone for something bigger. Then there might be even impetus for elections to be held earlier. We do know that elections aren't going to be held until, you know, next year, but obviously things can change.
Shazwan, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Shazwan Mustafa Kamal, Associate Director at Vriens & Partners, weighing in on the Melaka election and Muda's entry into the playing field. Do keep your thoughts coming. What do you make of this? You can, of course, send your thoughts our way. 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.